Thank you, John. Give me a moment to put this on. Forgot to grab this earlier. Just excited to be able to talk and visit with you all. That's a distracting moment. If you will, please open up in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, as we are going to be talking about tonight, fear. It's an interesting topic. Fear right now has been a kind of gripping our Cambodia a little bit as the passing of Clay, and I still encourage you all to pray for the Chapman family as they're dealing with that loss. As I've been hearing some of our younger people discuss the fear and nervousness that comes with death and with the passing of Clay, it's real. It's real to them, and it's something that scares all of us. Fear has been called the great equalizer because it seems to bring all people to the same point. It tends to break the knees, to put people on their knees and set them up into a certain place. We sometimes categorize fear by different things. We see the different phobias, such as arachnophobia, the fear of spiders, or claustrophobia, the fear of tight spaces or crowded places, hydrophobia, if you are afraid of water or deep water, and there's even a fun one called triskaidekaphobia, the fear of the number 13. Interesting, just different fears that come along, and sometimes they seem a little bit irrational. You wonder, what's with the fear of the number 13, but in some cultures that is considered a cursed number. In fact, some buildings and hotels and places actually just skip the whole 13th floor. You'll go 12 to immediately 14. It seems sometimes irrational, but fear really is a rational idea. It's terrifying. We understand that fear is a terrifying thing. It holds people. It'll freeze people. Listen, if you will, at 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 to 16, as a man hears, literally paralyzed by fear. It says, "Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots were circling the city. And his servant said to him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with me and us are more than those who are with them.'" That is Elisha talking to his servant as the king of Aram is trying to capture Elisha. His servant has become paralyzed with fear. He doesn't want to die. He doesn't want to be captured and taken away. He's surrounded. He feels engulfed, possibly claustrophobic, by this army. But Elisha brings him reassurance and says, "Do not fear, because better things are here. Somebody better is with us." But in the Bible, we see these two types of fears. We see the terror level of fear, but then we also see this phrase used very often, especially in the Psalms, "Fear the Lord." Well, does that mean that we should be terrified by God? Should we be hiding, wanting to run away from Him in fear, or paralyzed in our place because of Him and His power? As there's a certain movie calls God the Almighty Smiter. Is that the God that we know? Is that the God that's truly written about in the Bible? No. We shouldn't be terrified by God. When it says, "Fear the Lord," fear God, it says, be respectful of Him. Be in awe of His power and might. Be reverent of Him. That's actually the what's considered the archaic version of the word for fear. It's respectful, awe, reverence. It's not always the hide in your hole, kind of terrified level of fear. But I said let's turn over to 1 Samuel 17, because in this section there's a great example and study of fear here. And there's a reason that fear is broken out the way it is up there. I've chosen to make fear into an acronym tonight. We're going to see two different acronyms that come out of the word fear. The first is what happens with Saul here. When Saul faces his fear, he forgets everything. And he runs from God. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to read the first 11 verses. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Shokah, which belongs to Judah, and they camped between Shokah and Issachar, and another region. I'm not going to try to pronounce that one. Saul and the men of Israel gathered, and they camped in the valley of Elah, and they drew up in battle array to encounter the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, while Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with the valley between them. Then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines, named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and was clothed with scale armor, which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he also had bronze greaves on his legs and a bronze javelin slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the head of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. His shield carrier also walked before him. And he stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, "Why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us." And again the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." But when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and were greatly afraid. Now, I don't blame Saul too much here. Personally, being a man of my stature, about 5'7", compared to Goliath, who was right around 9 feet tall and probably weighed a solid half ton, if not more, of pure muscle, weighing and carrying another probably almost half ton of armor. This man was a living battle tank. And if you understand how they did combat at this time in history, it says they stood on around a valley. There was a valley between them. The Philistines stood on one side with all of their camp out there, and the Israelites stood on another. And they would spend days just shouting at one another and trying to heckle each other to see if they can get somebody to come battle. And these were not complete savages in their time. They tried to fight in a civilized manner. They would choose a single champion to come out and represent the army, represent their king. In this case, it was Goliath, this great champion. And in his calling out, the man that should have come out of the army should have been Saul. A man himself of great stature. They said stood head and shoulders above everybody else. As Saul's also called a mighty man. He's a large man himself. Could be rather intimidating. But instead of this, Saul buckles. Saul buckles and he hides. And we see if you continue throughout the story, he's not in the front line with his soldiers on the edge of the valley heckling back at them. He's hiding away in his tent, waiting for somebody else to stand up and to be the champion of the nation. And you could also understand that Saul may have been afraid for losing his life. What has happened in the previous chapters? Saul started out his kingship on a pretty high note. He was fighting for God, getting victories because he was one with the Lord. But then in 1 Samuel chapter 12 or 13, he gets nervous because Samuel isn't coming on time. So he offers a sacrifice in Samuel's stead, something the king had no business doing. And he says in verse 14, Samuel says to Saul, "But now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man of his own heart. And the Lord has appointed him a ruler over the people because you've not kept what the Lord commanded you." And then in chapter 15, Saul's disobedience with Amalek. Again, disobeying what the Lord has said. And Samuel again confirms and says, "You did not obey the voice of the Lord." And then later on in that chapter, he tells him that the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you this day and has given it to your neighbor who is better than you. Saul has every right, I think, to be afraid. But at the same time, if he would just go back and look at the history of the nation, he would know that even when men fell short, if they put their faith in God, he would still deliver them. Saul lived reigned for 42 years in total. We don't know how much of that was probably in fear. But we see here, this is a man who has forgotten his Lord and is hiding and has run from him instead. Saul forgot everything and ran. But then out from literally seems nowhere, walks on a ruddy young lad. David. Resume reading with me in chapter 17, verse 20. So David arose early in the morning and left the flock with the keeper and took the supplies and went as Jesse commanded him. And he came to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array, shouting the war cry. Again, standing on the side of the valleys, yelling at each other. Israel and the Philistines, drawn up in battle array, army against army. Then David left his baggage in the care of the baggage keeper and ran to the battle line and entered in order to greet his brothers. And he was talking with them. Behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines, and he spoke the same words, and David heard them. When all the men of Israel saw that man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. The men were following in Saul's example. They forgot the Lord. They forgot the stories. They forgot their history, and they ran to hide in their tents, hiding behind one another. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who is coming up? Surely he is coming up to defy Israel, and it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And this is, Saul is offering up a pretty hefty reward. Duty-free life. No more taxes. No more suffering under the king's harsh rules and impositions there. He'll give him a daughter. He'll be married into the royal family, given great riches. Saul is trying to entice somebody to be brave when he cannot. Verse 26, then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, "What will be done for this man who kills the Philistine and takes away their approach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in according to the word, saying, "Thus will be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger burned against David, and he said, "Why have you come down? And with whom have you left a few sheep in the wilderness? I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you've come down in order to see the battle." But David said, "What have I done now? Was it not just a question?" And then he turned away from him and to another and said the same thing, and the people answered him the same as before. David's asking, what's going on? You are the army of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God, the Creator, Jehovah. Why are you afraid? David has fear, but it's not forgetting everything and running. David faces everything and rises to the occasion. As he tells Saul, when Saul hears of his questioning of his volunteering to go fight, he brings him in and David tells him, "The Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." Saul must have felt pretty little himself at that moment. Here's this young lad, his real trust and faith in the Lord. A realist would say, "All right, let's let him bury himself in this." And we see, if we continue through the story, that David stands so firm and is able to conquer because he feared the Lord. He had great respect for the Lord, and he used his fear in the Lord. He faced it and rose with the Lord behind him. We see where fear has placed each of these men. Saul, hiding in the back. As David goes before the Philistine and answers his challenge and fights, if you look at the very end of chapter 17, verse 55, Now when Saul saw that David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this? Who is this young man?" And Abner said, "By your life, O king, I do not know." And the king said, "Inquire of who he is." So when David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, with the Philistine's head in his hand. And Saul says to him, "Who are you?" And David answers him, "Saul is hiding in the back, hiding in his tent, waiting to hear the news or waiting to be ambushed, questioning, who is this young man?" But David goes to the front line, where Saul should have been. And he stood in front of his adversary, and he rose. He rose up for the Lord, for the nation, to show them, God is still with us. But put your faith and trust in Him. Fear Him appropriately. Stand with Him. And He will stand with you. So our question is, where does our fear place us? Where does our fear place us in our lives? Because when you look at this story, we might think and come to the conclusion, well, we're David. We're the ones going out to fight and conquer the Philistines. We're not David. As much as I would like to be David, as much as I think each of us would like to be David, we are not David in that story. That is Jesus. That is Jesus who goes and stands before the great enemy to stand and fight on our behalf. No, we are the ones standing up on the hill. We are the army who's standing there, watching our champion face it and rise up for us, instead of the one who's hiding behind us. We are the ones who stand on the front lines or up on the top of the hill, saying, who do I fear? What do I take of my fear today? Do I stand allied with Saul, forgetting who my God is, and running and hiding? Or do I run? Or do I run down with David after the great enemy has been killed, has been beaten? Do I run down with him to go out and fight the rest of the army, to chase them away from our kingdom, from those who need our protection and our help and our guidance? The rest of the world stands behind us, whether they know it or not, seeking our protection from Satan and his minions. Do we fight for the Lord? Do we face it and rise? Or do we forget and see what is intimidating before us and run and hide? Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Have the proper fear in our lives. Don't forget everything and run. Do not have a fear of the world and a fear of Satan. Instead, put your fear and your trust, your respect in the Lord. Face it with Him, and we will rise. That's the question for tonight. The final question: who do we fear? And where do we put our fear? If you know right now where you need to put your fear, where you need to put your hope and your trust in the Lord, we offer this chance now as we stand and as we sing.